Welcome to Healing Scars with Pastor Burton, the official podcast of Cross Christian Fellowship, Route 66, in the heart of Albuquerque, New Mexico, where Burton is the lead pastor. We're glad you're here.
Hey, everybody. Welcome back to the sanctuary. It's great to have you with us, as always. So I'm going to tell you what. I'm just going back, and I'm going back through my notes and everything and re-recording the message from Sunday because, well, frankly, the way the audio is coming through on the recording, as I've been going back and listening, I just don't feel it's quite up to par. So until it is, I'm just going to keep re-recording. If things do sound good or whatever, you know, then I'll go ahead and just load it up from our live stream. But otherwise, you're going to hear a little bit more of this. And quite honest, as I've said in the past, I like this. I like sitting down, having a little bit of peace and quiet around me, grabbing my cup of coffee, and talking to you. Now, at Cross Christian Fellowship, Route 66, we are a prayerful church. That is a mouthful, isn't it? Prayerful church. Say that 10 times real fast. Now, prayer is our direct line of communication with God. And really, it's our focus today as we're going to look at some important principles of prayer. Now, this is important because far too many people out there are very much like that song by Jelly Roll, right? And they only try to go to God when they need or want something. However, that's not the way it's supposed to work. You know, you think about the relationships we have. We all know that one person who comes around and the only time they do it is when they need something. And the first thing that comes to mind is like, oh man, not this guy again. What does he want now? Right? We all know that person. And as soon as we hear their voice, sometimes that's really all that we need, and we get irritated, we get frustrated, we get annoyed, right? Just downright, you know, I'm the first to say, you know, so there's that one person who's coming down the hall, and as soon as I hear their voice, I'm just sitting there like, oh, what do they want now, right? Like we all have those moments, in the Marine Corps, it's one of those moments when we would say you want to throat punch somebody, you know. Let's be honest, I mean that's just the way it is. And usually when it happens, it's because we don't have the relationship with them that we should have. You know, maybe we do have a relationship, but it's not a good one. So with that said, let's turn to our first verse of the day. Our first piece of scripture comes from John 9, verse 31. So in John chapter 9, verse 31, the word says, "Now we know that God does not hear sinners, but if anyone is a worshiper of God and does his will, he hears him." You know, people want to live worldly, sinful lives, right? They just want to, very selfish lives. But then something happens and they expect God to just drop what he's doing and listen to them on a dime and just give them whatever it is that they're asking for. Unfortunately, it does not work that way. You know, if you do not truly repent of your sins and establish a relationship with Jesus, guess what? He's not going to listen to you. You want to get right with him? It's easy. It's real simple to do. Repent of your sin. That means change. Repentance is actual change. Not just, oh, I'm sorry. Sorry doesn't cut it. You have to actually change and break free of that sin. Turn your life around, whatever it is that you're doing. And you have to profess him as your Lord and Savior, you know, and turn to him for everything in your life and prayer, you know. And is that any different from how we react? You know, that there's that person that comes around and it's only when they need something. Like, oh, man, it's like, no, go away. Get away from me. Get out of this room. You know, go apologize to the trees for wasting their oxygen. Right. That's the attitude we all have. Granted, ours is much more bitter than that of Jesus. Jesus is just like, no, when you're ready to repent, come back. So we're a little bit more petty, if we're honest about it. But Jesus is not petty. He just wants us to make that honest to goodness change. Come to him, you know, and repent of our sin. Now, I'd like you to open your Bibles and turn with me, and this is going to be the meat and potatoes of what we're going through today, in Romans 8. So in Romans 8, specifically, we're looking at verses 26 through 29. So Romans 8, 26 through 29. So in Romans 8, verses 26 or 29, the word says, likewise, the Spirit also helps in our weaknesses, for we do not know what we should pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered. Now, he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for the saints according to the will of God. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God, to those who are the called according to his purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. All right, so we're going to go through some principles here. Look at these verses. It's very, just a couple of verses, but there's a lot in there, as you're going to see, and I love that. Principle one, really, these first two principles are going to come from the first verse, verse 26. So Romans 8, 26, the first principle we're going to pray from is the Holy Spirit helps us to know how to pray and what to pray for. So if you're taking notes, the Holy Spirit helps us to know what to pray for and how to pray. Okay, starting with verse 26 there, like I said, that's where we're at. Our real prayer is a reflection of the Holy Spirit within us. You know, those honest-to-goodness prayers, not the just, you know, idle words like, oh, you know, thank you for this food or any of that, or, you know, that kind of stuff. It's those legit prayers that we have with things that are really weighing us down. You know, and they reflect, again, they reflect our relationship with Jesus, and they reflect the Holy Spirit who fills us. In order to do that, we have to deny the things of the world. All right. It doesn't matter how tempting they may be. We have to deny them. The Holy Spirit is the one, basically, let me put this, the Holy Spirit's the one in the back of your ear. He's like that little voice that's always nagging at you, right? You shouldn't do that. You shouldn't do this. You know that's wrong. You know that's going to hurt their feelings. You know that's going to upset this person. You know that isn't the way you're supposed to be doing it, right? It's that little voice of, kind of like conscience, I guess, would be the best way to put it, right? He's not our conscience. He's separate. But, I mean, it's the same thing. You know, he's that voice like Jiminy Cricket, right? With Pinocchio, I'm a real boy. No, you're not. Pinocchio, go chill out, sit down, or I'll turn you into kindling, right? No. You know, that's how the Holy Spirit is for us, though. He kind of is. He's that voice of reason. However, we don't go to him like we should. We don't listen to him like we should. We don't talk to him like we should. And because of that, we're not able to get that spiritual nourishment that we need in our lives. And as a result, what happens? We start going to our own selfish, sinful desires, and we just start devouring that sinful, guilty pleasure, right? Whatever it is, whether it's alcohol, gambling, whatever. You know, and that's just how we are, you know, because all of a sudden, you know, we find, hey, there's this hole here. It's meant to be filled by the Holy Spirit, but we're pushing him out and we're feeling unfulfilled. It needs to be filled. So what do? We fill it with sin. You know, we just keep pushing the Holy Spirit out, which is not the right thing. That's not what brings us into that connection with him. So, you know, the other way of looking at this, if we turn to Galatians chapter 5, verses 19 through 21, again, that's Galatians 5, 19 through 21, the word tells us, now the works of the flesh are evident, which are adultery, fornication, uncleanness, lewdness, idolatry, sorcery, hatred, contentions, jealousies, outburst of wrath, selfish ambitions, dissensions, heresies, envy, murders, drunkenness, revelries, and the like, of which I tell you beforehand, just as I also told you in time past, that those who practice such things will not inherit the kingdom of God. We cannot live in sin. We cannot live in the ways of the world and expect God just to drop everything and give us things. But that's what we do, right? We act like a bunch of spoiled brats. Come on, give me. Why won't you give it to me? Why do you hate me? Right? It's not hate. It's love. But, you know, it's just like, you know, that brat throwing a temper tantrum on the floor at the grocery store. You know, you got those good parents who aren't going to give in to it. And God's not going to give in to us when we're doing the same thing. However, if we, again, repent of our sin and have a meaningful relationship with Him, not just a once in a while, you know, hey, how you doing? Like actual a relationship, things change. Just like our relationship, you know, when we have that with other people, that person only comes around when they want something, things change with them too, right? You can start having a great friendship and they don't just come around when they need something or want something. They actually just start coming around for other things, you know, because friendship and love and all that kind of stuff. But like I said, you know, things change when we repent of our sin and we come to God, we come to Christ, we have that relationship with Him. And it's beautiful because when we do that, God has promised to produce a great work in you. I mean, absolutely amazing things. He will do things with you you never, ever thought you would be doing. He will take you places you never, ever thought you would go. Absolutely incredible, beautiful, wonderful, just fantastic things, right? Absolutely fantabulous. And the beauty of it is He's not going to condemn you because of your weaknesses. He's not going to condemn you because of the things you've done in the past, right? If you repent and you come in, guess what? You're washed by the blood of Christ. You're forgiven. You know, instead of condemning you, what He's going to do is He's going to reach out His hand and He's going to lift you up. Right? Your life will suddenly have so much more meaning and you will find happiness in places you never thought you would. And that's because when we're in a relationship with Christ and we're filled with the Holy Spirit, we start falling more in alignment with what God wants. We fall into alignment with the will of God, right? Therefore, our prayers are more in alignment with what He wants for us. You know, it's just like Jesus when He was in the Garden of Gethsemane before, you know, He is about to be taken away to be tortured and crucified and everything with, you know, that sham of a trial. You think of His prayer. What did He pray for? God, Father, if it's in Your will, take this cup from me. Because even He realized, you know, hey, the human part of me is praying right now, and this might not be in the will of God, right? So as a son praying to the Father. So the better the relationship we have with Jesus, the more in alignment we get or become, and you know the more you start to see answers coming from your prayers. All right, it's all because we're praying for the things that are in His will and less of our will. Which brings me to the next point, and again we're still in Romans 8 verse 26 here, principle number two. So principle number two is the Holy Spirit intercedes for us. That's right. The Holy Spirit intercedes for us. He acts on our behalf. He is constantly at work for us in our best interest, both here in our earthly realm and in the spiritual realm. And this is really important to know. This is good stuff. Because as believers, things happen in life and we still need assurances. You know, and it's because of the things that we're going to suffer. We're going to suffer. You know, Jesus even warned us. It's like just because we come to Him doesn't mean life is going to be all, you know, a bed of roses and candy and all the good stuff, you know. He warned us. Life's going to be tough. We're going to face trials. We're going to face tribulations. We're going to have pain. We're going to have losses, you know, and so much more. Life is hard. It's tough. You know, in our endurance, it's going to be just downright stretched out, beaten, worn, tested, and exhausted at times. Utterly just exhausted. You know, those times when you just can't pick up your feet and keep going, you need help. And Jesus is there to help you. All right. Which is why in John 14, verse 26, Jesus said, "But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in My name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance all things that I said to you. All right. So again, Jesus has helped us. The Holy Spirit is helping us. So when, you know, when the Holy Spirit is working on our behalf, this is something that should bring us all a lot of comfort. It should bring us a great comfort, right? Kind of like a weighted blanket. And you're just like, oh, you know, we should find that comfort in the reminder that we're not alone. We don't have to do everything by ourselves. We're not being left to our own devices, because if we face facts, when we're left to our own devices and we try to do things on our own, we just make a huge mess. I do it, you do it, everybody does it. So, you know, instead we turn to the Holy Spirit, we trust in Him, and we follow Him, and things turn out so much better. That's why Paul encourages us here, you know, as believers, to go to the Holy Spirit, to go to Christ. You know, sometimes the other part that's here is we just don't have the words. We are left utterly speechless. And that's the part that the Holy Spirit's talking about here too. There are those times when it's easy to talk and you just go da 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 da. And then there's other times where words just utterly elude you, which is going to bring us to our next principle as we move from verse 26 into verse 27. All right, so principle 3 is coming to us from Romans 8, verse 27. And that principle is, God hears our hearts more than our words. So God hears our hearts more than our words. You know, so like I said, sometimes we just don't know what to say. Try as we might, it just doesn't happen. Sometimes our thoughts and our words are kind of like my desk here at home and just an utter mess, right? Total disaster, right? Like you look at it, like, you know, my wife looks at it and she's just like, really? How do you find anything in there? And I'm like, oh, it's a system. It's like, really? Really? It's like, yes. It might take me a few minutes, but yes. You know, the beauty of this is God continues to work for us even when we don't know how to verbalize things. You know, and that's because the Holy Spirit's right there close to our heart. He hears and knows what's on our heart. You know, in fact, that brings me to, I want to share with you a little bit about a Christian musician, back in the 90s. You may have heard of him. You may not have. You know, he unfortunately was involved in a tragic accident and lost his life back in the late 90s. But you may recall the name of Rich Mullins. He had some big hits back then. So during one of his concerts, Rich made some interesting comments about how we get caught up in our words when it comes to God. Here's what he said. All right. We often try to impress God with all the right words. You don't have to impress God because He's already knocked out by you. He already loves you more than you can imagine. He continued on saying, good taste is the enemy of great art. Good taste has all to do with being cultured and being refined. If art has to do with anything, it has to do with being human. One of the reasons I love the Bible is because the humans in the Bible are not very refined. And he went on to talk about how when he was a teenager and dealing with depression and that kind of stuff, people would try to encourage him by saying things like, oh, God loves you. And much like teenagers, myself included at the time, you know, he'd respond as a typical teenager saying, you know what, that just proves he doesn't have any taste. And so, you know, with that, Mullins went in and he said, and I don't think he does. Thank God for that. Because God takes the junk in our lives and He makes the greatest art in the world out of it. If He was cultured, if He was as civilized as most Christian people wish He was, He would be utterly useless to Christianity. Amen, right? Amen. So because of He that's in you, God knows exactly what's in your heart, what it's crying out for, what it desires, what it needs, what it's starving for. All right. And he can and he does take that pain and that suffering and he uses it for good. Right. As the word says, you know, the Lord took what you meant for evil and he used it for good. Right. And he does. He uses it to bring about change. He uses it to mold you and your character. What he does is he helps us to bring us more into alignment with the Holy Spirit and help us to become more Christ-like because we're all called to be more Christ-like, you know? So when we're in that the alignment with the Holy Spirit and when we're praying for those things in God's will, the Holy Spirit's right there praying with you. He's right there praying with you. So you're not alone. And just as Jesus prayed for us on the cross, the Spirit's with you and he's praying for you now. So you can say what you need to say. Have faith. In other words, trust, because that's what faith is. It's trust that God can and will take the words that you have and the words that you don't have and turn them into something absolutely wonderful. And again, it's because the Holy Spirit's right there. He's praying with you. God already knows what you need. So if you don't have the words, don't worry about it. Say what you can. Trust that God will understand what you're saying, and he'll take care of things. All right, which is going to bring us to our final principle of the day here. And we're going to find it in verses 28 and 29. So again, Romans 8, verses 28 and 29. For our fourth and last principle, and that is prayer is always answered, but not always answered in the way that we want. So prayer is always answered, but not always in the way that we want. God always answers prayers, maybe not as fast as we like, maybe not in the way that we'd like. Matter of fact, sometimes what we perceive as an unanswered prayer is the answer. We're over here and we're expecting this response over here, and that's what we're focused on. And we're so focused on it, we miss the actual answer, which is all the way over here on the other side. Right? It happens. You know, I believe it's Garth Brooks who sang the song, said, you know, one of God's greatest gifts is unanswered prayers, right? You know, God is always at work, he's constantly there. And it was Bill Hybels who actually taught that God typically is going to answer a prayer in one of four ways. God's answers come in one of four ways typically. Like I said, this is not a comprehensive list. It's just the most common, all right? Typically, it's no, slow, grow, or go. So again, that's no, slow, grow, or go. And we're going to go through these one by one. So no. Meaning that your request, what you're praying for, is not in alignment with his will. Remember what I said earlier in the Garden of Gethsemane, Jesus was praying and he asked, you know, if it was in the Father's will that he wouldn't have to go through what was about to happen to him. So our prayers have to be in accordance with his will, or kind of like this, it will fall flat. Lost my place there, but I'm going to come back to it. It's okay. So slow. Our next one is slow. Your request isn't God's will at this time. We have to remember he works in his perfect time and not our imperfect or impatient time. So it's not that necessarily that your request isn't in God's will at all. It's just not in his will for this time just yet. You know, oftentimes our timing is imperfect. It is impatient. You know, most of the time it's just impatient, right? It's like, oh, it's my answer and I want it now. No, slow your roll. So we have to have trust. You know, when God sends that answer, it's going to be at the right time. The next one is grow. And this is more of what I was thinking for a moment ago when I kind of lost my track of thought. Grow meaning your motives are all wrong. You're being selfish, in other words, right? You're not thinking properly. You're wanting something that goes against God's will or God's character, more specifically. If we turn to James chapter 4, verse 3, again, that's James 4, verse 3, the word says, "You ask and do not receive because you ask amiss that you may spend it on your pleasures." So we're very selfish, right? Or we ask for things that are not in God's character. A prime example, there's that Mel Gibson movie back in the early 2000s, We Were Soldiers, right? And there's a scene where he's trying to comfort one of his troops and they pray together. And it starts off, you know, the typical things and everything. And it's, you know, a good prayer. And it gets all the way to the end and he shifts gears and says, "Oh, but for all those heathens, just forget their prayers and help us blow as many of them away as possible," right? Just let us blow them all away is what he's praying for, is to kill them all. You know, and last I checked, that's not in God's will. That goes against his will. That goes against his character, because God doesn't want all of us just to die. He wants all of us to have the opportunity to come back to Christ and be reunited with him. So, you know, we sometimes it's just a matter of growing. We need to grow in our relationship. We need to grow in our understanding of what God's will really is. Which brings us to the fourth and final answer that is typically given, which is go. Go is really easy. Go means your request is right, your timing is right, your spiritual condition is right. So the answer, in other words, is yes. Go for it. Green light. Punch it. Right? But here's the thing. Don't get hung up on getting the answer, because the answer isn't always going to be what you want or what you expect it to be. God knew you were going to make mistakes well before you were born, but he still chose you. He still loves you. He still wants what is best for you, so much so that he sent his only begotten son to die on the cross for you, to rise again and to ascend to heaven, and is coming back for all who believe in him. So even when you don't know the best way to say what's weighing you down, you don't really know how to put things to words, don't worry about it. Go to him nonetheless. Go to him with the words that you do have. Say what you can say and trust in him. And that's all that he really needs to be able to bless you. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time and fellowship and worship of you. We thank you for these simple principles of prayer, and as well as these most basic of answers and how you typically will answer us. We ask that you continue to work through us and through the Holy Spirit, and help us to become more like you and less like the world. And continue to teach us how to understand your will and what your will is for our lives, and how to apply all this to our lives, so that we could be better ambassadors for you in this dark world, and to carry your light, your will, and your glory out for others to see. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen. Remember, you are loved and you are blessed. Now go and be the church.
Thank you for joining us at Healing Scars with Pastor Burton. If this message spoke to you, or if you would like to help us reach more people, please like, review, and share our podcast. You can learn more about our ministry or how you can support us at www.thecross66.org. Until next time, take care and God bless.